doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Oh, good morning to you, my friends. Together on this terrific Thursday, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. Here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. Oh, it's a cool morning out there. Feels like fall, and I'm loving it, of course. As you know, fall is my favorite time of year, and it's 33 degrees right now, and only going to get warm up to about 58 degrees. And I heard some news this morning. If you're heading up to PDX this morning, you may want to pay attention to the traffic pattern, as there's a really bad about 4 a.m. accident there on the way up there on off of I-5, I believe, I-84, right in that area. So just a heads up, if you're taking someone or you're headed to the airport, I think that's important because sometimes it can get kind of interesting in the morning commute up towards Portland. As we continue on today, I want to say a couple things. I had an adventure yesterday, and you know how I am. I love to go on a treasure hunt, right? And it's not for stuff because, as I get older, I'm kind of trying to get into this pattern of releasing things and adding people and treasures and relationships and experiences and meeting people, because we all have stories and we all have unique things in our life that can help and be better together and really add value to one another. And so I took a little adventure. Yep, I went on along I-5 down towards Eugene, but only got as far as Linn County. And was fun to get into Lebanon. And I don't even know if I said that right. Lebanon, maybe someone can correct me. But I got into that area and went to the Linn County Republican meeting yesterday and had a chance to watch some incredible candidates give their story and talk to the good folks down there as to why they want to represent. And I was so encouraged and intrigued. And I guess I there's so much hope. There really is. We have hope, friends. And I know it's easy to get kind of discouraged and looking at all of the headlines in the morning. Even this morning, it's like boom, boom, boom. And you're like, whoo, I need to have another sip of coffee, because sometimes it can feel so overwhelming. And I don't know about you, but some of the behavioralists and psychologists are analyzing even the anxiety over the election and wondering where it's going to happen, what's going to happen, where are we going to end up on November 4th. And here's what I know. When we know who we are and whose we are, and again, how I've shared, my faith is really important to me. You know, we know that we're going to be okay. And for me, you know, what I find courage and hope in is knowing that God is the same yesterday, today, and He'll be the same tomorrow. And He brings me strength. And I have a history in my own life that He has been there for me, even through my family in the last couple of weeks with the loss of my grandma and some things going on in family. You know, I just continue to get encouraged that we are not forgotten or forsaken, but we got to do our part. We've got to show up and be a part of the solution. And it's easy to curse the darkness and go, this is wrong and that's wrong, and there's certainly enough going on right now that's wrong, and it doesn't seem fair. But we got to be a part of the solution. Let's roll up our sleeves. What can we do today to impact people who are making decisions at the ballot box? What can we do today to make sure everybody has an opportunity to vote? And I think we have a responsibility among our friends and family to have these conversations and talk to them about where you're at on these issues and why. Not in a in-your-face kind of way, but in an inviting way to hear their ideas and to have them explain, because oftentimes they're just regurgitating talking points from CNN or MSNBC or some of these TV shows that they have that are watching all this, in a sense, I think, my opinion, junk, not truth. And when we do try to throw truth out there, they don't want to hear it because they assume this is how it is. And so we have an opportunity to engage the friends and family in our circle of influence with truth in a loving way, but in a strong way. And so in an effort to stay connected, to stay engaged, to continue to have such a wonderful conversation, it's important in the next couple of weeks that we connect with those that want to run for office, right? So in the studio today, I'm really excited. And this is my first time meeting him face to face. I've seen him from a distance. I have Representative Mike Nierman in the studio with me. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hi, very good. Thanks for having me on, Stacey.
Oh, my goodness. We are having so much fun even before we got on the air, just talking and connecting and learning about one another. And I just want to say thank you for your commitment to dedicate your time, treasure, and talent to represent the good folks of Oregon. Thank you for that.
Good. I'm honored to serve, so thank you.
Talk to us a little bit about what life was like before you were a representative and how long you've been representing here in Oregon.
So it's a funny story. So I was chairman of the Polk County Republican Party and saw myself as just being someone to help other people get elected and everything. And one day somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, we were wondering if you would like to run for House District 23. And I remember that conversation. I remember my answer to him was, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And after I lose, I'll have enough name recognition to run for the school board there. Mm. So that didn't really work out the way that I planned it there. And here I am 6 years later. I'm still the state representative from House District 23.
So. I love it. And when you're in the state capitol and you're representing in the House, what committees do you sit on there?
So there's two kinds of committees in the legislature. There's policy committees, and then there's ways and means committees. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of a ways and means guy. So I'm on two ways and means committees, the Committee on Education and the Committee on General Government. And so what ways and means committees do mostly is they call them budget committees, but we don't really do the budgets. Budgets are about balancing things, and you have to have the whole picture to do mm-hmm. that. But so what we're really doing is doing oversight of agencies. So I oversee the Department of Education, higher ed, community colleges, those kinds of things on the Education Committee. And then the General Government Committee, that's got a whole bunch of stuff. The Department of Administrative Services, the Revenue Department, the Secretary of State, the Treasurer, just a lot of, got your fingers in a lot of pies there. So those are the two ways and means committees that I'm on. And then as we were talking about before, back when I used to do honest work for a living, I was a software engineer.
Okay.
And because we don't have a very well-defined set of social skills, we usually don't get elected to office. There's not very many of us that serve in the legislature. So they, so because of that, I get a seat on the Information Technology Committee also, where I oversee the software projects for the state.
Oh, boy, yeah. That's just generating all kinds of questions for me right now. And you know where I'm going to go a little bit later with that.
Good.
So you've served on these committees, and I know from working in South Dakota and working in kind of a more of a community organizing, grassroots lobbying with individuals, that it's really important. These committees are where bills go through before they get voted on and before they go to the governor for approval. And so you got to ask the good questions, the good people that are bringing these bills forward, you know, and what kind of trickle-down effect this will have on day-to-day life. I think it's really important, and I had some had Raquel Moore Green in yesterday, and I had Senator Bowles in yesterday, and we talked strongly about the fact that it's very difficult right now to get good things done at the State House because of the supermajority that's going on right now and what that means. And again, just to continue to raise my awareness, because I'm new back to state, maybe a lot of our listeners are very aware of this, but it makes it difficult to bring in your own ideas that represent your constituents, and it's also very difficult to stop bad laws from coming through because you don't have the numbers. You don't have the is that correct?
Right, yeah. And one of the only tools that we have, and you saw this during the last short session, was is to just pack up and leave and deny them a quorum, which is kind of an ugly tool to use, but that's the only tool that we have right now.
And so I maintain the idea that here in Oregon, we have an opportunity to keep the seats that are held by Republicans and bring in new folks in those areas where we can have more of an even balance and get some good things done out of our legislature. Now, I hear of a season and a time where it was more balanced, you know, a few years ago, and things were done more in a productive manner at the State House. Now, I will say this, out of South Dakota, I've been in a place where the supermajority is on the Republican side. Yeah. Okay. So I will maintain, and yes, right now I'm registered Republican. So this is just the truth of it. The matter is, I believe a majority on either side isn't necessarily helpful for a state, because it is important that people get to express their ideas, and that it's not what I've seen just this last year. In January, February, I was shocked how prescribed or prescripted everything is, and people don't even get to ask their questions, you know, if you're not a Democrat. Is that your experience?
Yeah, and, you know, I wasn't serving then, but the last time we had some variety in the legislature was after the 2010 elections when the House was tied. Mm-hmm. And the stories that come out of that was when some of the most productive and essential legislation was done, because people had to talk to each other, and they had to consider ideas. And now it's just a one-party rule. And like you said, you don't really want that to go really hard either way. Mm-hmm. And so right now we've had quite a while where it's been one-party rule. And though I think the voters sense that eventually, and they'll correct that. And so I'm hoping that we get a start on the correction in November here.
I totally agree. And I think this year, more than any other year, all across the board, not just in Oregon, but all across the country, I think people are waking up to the fact that those that in these elected positions really do hold effectiveness in our day-to-day lives. And so I'm a big one about local government is your best government, closest to you, because you can hold those leaders accountable, and you can run into them at the coffee shop or the gas station or the grocery store and say, hey, what about this? And do you have any idea how that's impacting me? And then you say, hey, come testify to that fact at this committee, you know, and that's usually where good things happen in community. The difficult part is most people are like, oh, my vote doesn't count. It doesn't matter. I'm not into politics. Oftentimes they'll say I'm not into religion or politics, right? And those things are important, and we need to engage our culture. And we need to be involved in our community and in the political process. We have a responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. And so do you sense from your constituents this year they're getting more engaged than ever before?
I think so. And I think that the statistics are starting to show that the ballot returns are strong. Mm-hmm. And so I think people are it's, in some sense, it's kind of hard to gauge, because the COVID thing really put a damper on the normal retail politicking that goes on. Mm-hmm. So, but I do see people interested and engaged and talking about things and concerned about things. So that's a good sign. It's a good sign to see that.
Well, and I think this election will be really evident. People really, if anything, they have no excuse to not fill out that ballot, because we're not as busy as we've been in the past,
yeah, for sure.
Right, when it arrives. Mm-hmm. And your district is in what area again?
So my district's kind of the leftover district. So when I explain it to people, I say it's not Newburgh, not McMinnville, not West Salem, not Monmouth, not Independence, not Corvallis, not Philomath. And so it's kind of all the little area in between there. Mm-hmm. Kind of like if you had a 10-year-old kid with one of those big cookies with the M&Ms embedded in it, mm-hmm. and he went and ate out all the M&Ms. My district is what's left over. So it's kind of on scrunched up against the Coast Range. It's all the rural areas.
Okay.
There.
Well, when we get back from this break, I want to talk a little bit about the issues impacting your district when we get back. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Excited to talk with Representative Mike Nierman today. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. Hello to you listening online, streaming at kslm.news. And we're also 1220 AM, 104.3 FM. And I want to remind you, don't forget to like us on Facebook at KSLM Radio. In fact, a little bit later on today, we're going to go on this adventure. I'm excited about it. Cynthia and I are going to go around Marion County, and we're going to go and actually look for, kind of go on a little adventure for ballot boxes. Yep, where you can put in your ballot. We're going to to do a little Facebook stuff to show you exactly where you drop off your ballot, because I maintain now that they're coming in the mail. In fact, update, Terry got his ballot yesterday. That was good because, you know, remember the day of registration deadline, we didn't even see that his registration had been there. But then he did get his ballot and his registration's in. And so we fill out our ballots, and I'm telling everybody, I'm really encouraging you to drop it off, personally drop it off. And there's lots of places through Marion County that you can drop them off. And I'm sure the same with Polk County. And we're going to do this a little venture. I think it's important that people see this, and we'll do a little educating on that. So if you're friends with us on Facebook, you'll be able to see this little excursion that we're going to go. It's kind of like, one of those school trips that we went on as kids, you know. Should be fun. I'm excited to share with you some events that are coming up here around the corner. Of course, we know the 40 Days for Life campaign is continuing on at Planned Parenthood, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. right there. There's prayer vigil going on through November 1st, and you can get a hold of 40daysforlife.com/Salem. Kicking Cancer is having their golf-a-thon, which they've rounded me up and said, hey, will you hit a few golf balls? In fact, I'm supposed to hit 100 of them. And I've personally pledged $1 per golf ball, and I'm asking others to join me. Join Team Stacy and pledge your support. We're going to kick cancer in the donkey, and I'd love to have your help with that. You can go to kicking-cancer.org/golfathon. And then we're continuing to encourage you to be involved with a Hope Pregnancy Center. They've got their fundraiser coming up on the 14th of November. So things to look forward to past the election, right? And keeping our eyes focused on the prize of Election Day. We are bringing in candidates, talking to them of what their vision is for Oregon and why they want to continue to be our representative or senator or be for the very first time. And in the studio with me is State Representative, 23rd District, Mike Nierman, and so glad to have you here today.
Good, thanks. I'm having a good time.
Yeah, this is fun, kind of behind the scenes, right? And we didn't do it this morning, but we had Kim Thatcher, Senator Kim Thatcher on, and then we've had a few others, and we've tried some Facebook Live stuff in the past. I think we had Joe Ray Perkins on, and we did some Facebook Live. We're not going to do that this morning. I'm thinking maybe Mondays will be Facebook Live, adding that element to the morning show, but I'm so thankful that you're here. Looking at your voter pamphlet and bio here, it's fun that they have this opportunity for people, especially in the pandemic, to get to know you a little bit. And you talked a little bit about your district, and I love the analogy of everything in an M&M cookie. You take the M&Ms out, and that's your district, right? Mm-hmm. What do you see during this special year? It's a kind of, that's a good way to put it, right? This mm-hmm. interesting year where everything's upended with the pandemics and then the fire. And what are you seeing affecting your particular district, and what are you hearing from your people?
So you're very much right that really the story of 2020 is really COVID is the one of the big things, especially in my district. And I get kind of a general thing of people want to open up the state. I get a lot of that. And then a little bit more specific is people are frustrated with the education system's response to this. And so those two things, if that's kind of one thing or one and a half things or something, that's what's really the message that I'm getting from my district.
Yes, and what a lot of folks don't realize is that even though session is not happening, you're representing and you're taking those phone calls and you're directing people right to where they need to go, and you're more in a rural area. How is this impacting business in your areas?
Well, so it's the same that it's impacting businesses everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that the business people in my district have a sense that this isn't really necessary, this isn't really helping things, and what can they do to open up? They're kind of pinched. On the one hand, they want to open up. On the other hand, they're kind of forced into obedience by the state because they have a liquor license or a business license that they can't really risk. And so it kind of puts them in a position of not being able to do what they need to do to open their business and take care of their family and be productive and pay taxes, those kinds of things.
Well, and it feels like there's such a gotcha right now with businesses. They feel like they have to do all of these things and go through all of these, jump through these hoops in a sense to even serve the public. And then the public wants to give them business. And then they're also the ones, in a sense, the punishers too, if they're not wearing the mask correctly or not wearing a mask, and it's like it puts them in a really awkward position, doesn't it?
Right. They don't want to have to be the police force or anything like that, but they're afraid that they're going to get fined or shut down or whatever. So it's really frustrating. And anyway,
well, and in the COVID, the numbers, the things that what we're seeing, and I know friends who've had COVID, and they've talked to me, and of course they're pretty healthy individuals, and these are in other states, but they said it was like having the flu. It came through and it was gone, you know. And I did the quarantine thing, and I stayed home and was the responsible person in that. But I it's just interesting for me, and I'm troubled a little bit about how the OHA is maintaining these numbers, because I think it feels like anyway, and maybe they need to come out more specifically about how they're tracking these numbers, but it feels like it's just a bunch of fear, and that they're trying to control our behavior through fear, because when you add the presumptive numbers with the confirm, and we don't know what the difference is, and they don't go back and change it, it's manipulating emotions and manipulating behavior in a lot of people's minds, which the ripple effect is, then they think there's no truth in it, and then their behavior changes, you know, and so it really isn't helping the overall picture.
I think you're really right. I think you hit the nail on the head there, that what they're doing is driving fear. Mm-hmm. And, I think part of the problem is they don't have an end game now. Mm. When they started, they had an end game. They were talking about flattening the curve. They were talking about hospital capacity. They were talking about PPE availability, those kinds of things. None of those are issues now. So the curve has been flattened. Hospital capacity isn't an issue. PPE is available now. So I think now they want to keep control, and they're using fear to do that. And it's frustrating. We're Oregonians. We're not driven by fear.
That's exactly right. We have that pioneer spirit. When we come back, let's dig into some of the issues moving forward when you get reelected, okay? All right, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Thursday and every day. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. If you're in Monmouth, Independence, Silverton, we welcome you to wherever you're listening from today. Thank you for tuning in, and we're having a wonderful discussion, continuing the conversation with Representative Mike Nierman, and I've got his website up right here, neermanfororegon.com. And Mike, I just thank you for taking the time to be a part of the morning show this morning and letting me ask you questions about who you are and why you want to represent, especially at a time like this, the great state of Oregon and the folks here. And we talked a little bit about the issues that are facing all Oregonians, right? And your district is not any different. But the things that are really frustrating to so many that I hear, and I get emails and people asking me to ask these questions, is what are we going to do about this stronghold that our governor has, and what do we need to do, and what can our representatives do in the state house to get some fairness? What options are out there? And I know you're involved. I'm kind of setting you up. You're involved with something right now that may bring some relief. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on here in Oregon.
So I agree with you. I share your frustration, and there's not a lot that we can do through the actual legislature. But anybody who knows me knows that I'm involved in 101 different ways all the time, full speed forward. One of the things we do is people don't realize we have two legislatures in the state of Oregon. We have the marble building in the middle of downtown Salem, and the Oregon Constitution provides that we have another legislative option, which is the initiative process in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very involved with that, and I have a few initiative petitions that I'm working with right now. And then we also have a legal system. And so last Friday, myself and a couple of my other buddies in the legislature and a businessman up in Portland area, we sued the governor about the shutdown of the state there. So I'm doing what I can in whatever tools that I have, whatever rocks and sticks and pitchforks and torches I can find. I wield those however I can.
Well, and accountability in government is really important, I think, and the fairness. And it seems like there's just been so much unfairness. You know, everybody's doing their part. We'll just talk about the mask thing for a minute, but everybody's doing their part so businesses can be open and to support their friends and family who have businesses. You know, it's like it's easy for me to wear the mask when my friend has her business and her restaurant because I don't want her to get in trouble or lose her liquor license or any of those things because her people are not wearing masks. You know, I get that. But then we have these protests or riots going on and people aren't wearing masks and they're destroying businesses, and yet there's no justice there, and it seems like the normal follow along people are getting punished when there's free rein in certain areas of our state. So it sounds like this lawsuit is a lot about fairness, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and there's a lot of examples of that. There's another lawsuit which I'm not a party to, which in federal court where the governor's being sued over not allowing a Christian school to open on the same terms that the public schools are allowed to open. And so when you talk about fairness, that's one there. Or other people notice other things like, you know, like you mentioned, the riots are, you can go and you can have a riot and you don't have to wear a mask, but you can't go to church. And you can't run your normal business, but you can run a pot shop because somehow that's an essential business. And so just the unfairness of a lot of these policies, people are starting to, that's starting to chafe at a lot of people.
Well, and even, I'll take it even a step further, these folks that have not been able to get the medical attention for several months, go to their doctor, they've had a diagnosis, they need to have surgery, that are essential for their lives, but they're considered non-essential, and yet abortions are happening at Planned Parenthood in the same amount of time that we lost about 550 Oregonians to COVID. There were over 3,300 babies lost in Oregon during that same amount of time. And I'm thinking, whoa, where are we talking about this? Talk about not being fair, you know? And so these
That's
are
a great
real,
example.
Real issues facing Oregon. And we need to be able to have the strength and the power at the state house to deal with these head on. We have the legal system, like you said. We have the ballot initiative as well that we can try to do things. But what I found in Oregon coming back, and I think this is a real thing, and I think you're aware of that. I think a lot of our elected leaders are aware of that we have such great people in state government. We have fantastic workers, teachers, state workers, and this is no bad, I'm not talking bad about them. They're in a system where they're afraid to talk freely or even sign a petition because they're afraid of the consequence from the government run by Kate Brown of their job and their ability to live and provide for their family. This is a real thing in Oregon.
It is. And to talk about fairness and justice and things like that, it's so one-sided too. You know, people are afraid to put a Donald Trump bumper sticker on their car because they're afraid their car will get keyed. But nobody's afraid to put a Biden sticker on. And I mean, those three people that have the Biden sticker.
Right.
But or things like you're talking about a state worker. My wife is a former state worker. She's retired now. But and you're talking about fear of talking about certain things, but nobody stops the union shop steward from carrying on, you know, right next to her desk or whatever. So it's very one-sided, and that's troubling when we have that. We get the same thing in the legislature too. Certain things can be said, and certain things can be done, and other things shall not be said, and all that. And so it's troubling to see that kind of one-sidedness.
It's time that we stop tiptoeing around here in Oregon and get to business, right? Business is normal, and we the people have an opportunity. Our voices are strong, and we need to be talking to our friends and family about and the persuadables about these issues. And if they want more of the same, continue to do the same. But if not, let's get leadership in like Mike Nearman and these others that we've had on the show that are willing to step up, give their time, treasure, and talent to say, we'll make the hard decisions and we'll do it through the Constitution, the state Constitution, the national Constitution, and make sure that our life, liberty, and happiness are protected, right?
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so in this season of campaigning, oh my goodness, what are you doing to reach your constituents? How are you handling this whole, I mean, we didn't have the state fair, you couldn't have the Polk County Fair, you couldn't have all of these things that normally you would campaign. How are you doing it?
You're right, that's a big part of the campaigning. So, things like, I don't feel comfortable going door to door, not that I personally don't feel comfortable about doing that, but I don't feel comfortable with other taking up other people's space to do that. So some people might not be comfortable. So I haven't done that. But we've been doing other things using technology of texting campaigns we've been doing. Some of those kinds of things. We have the overpass on Highway 22 there.
Oh,
we've been putting signs up there and waving at people and they honk back and everything.
Good.
So yeah, those are real fun. So there's some ways that we can engage like that. So you do what you can with the tools that you have at the time that you have.
And about how many people or households, how do you, in your district, how do you measure that? I think they're supposed to be equitable, I think, throughout all the, so is it about 60,000 or so?
About, so not 60,000 households, but 60,000 voters.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and so they're equitable by the number of people in the district, not by voters. So if the voter registration is low in your district, sometimes it is, whatever. And then you remember that we're at the very tail end. This is the last election that we're going to have under the 2010 census.
Right.
And so as the districts have changed, they only get corrected once every 10 years, and we're 9 years into that census.
Right.
So they're a little ragged on the equitable thing there. So we'll fix that in 2021.
And that's another reason, again, friends, that we want to make sure the right people are elected into the legislature. And
Kim Thatcher for Secretary of State.
And our Secretary of State, who we had earlier this week, a critical position to make sure that as we move forward, we have adequate representation throughout Oregon. And again, Mike Nearman for Oregon.com is a website. How else? Do you have a Facebook page?
Just Nearman for Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Nearman for Oregon.com. And what's your Facebook page?
Just Mike Nearman. That's all. And if you look me up, there's Mike Nearman, the guy who's a normal dude there. And then there's Mike Nearman, the politician. They're both Mike Nearman. So,
that works beautifully. So you kind of have that technology background and a software engineer. And one of the issues that I've heard a lot of from people, a couple things, is the unemployment debacle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the software or the hardware, all of that. And then now this morning, they're talking about the DMV and the difficulties there. Talk to us a little bit about where we need to go with those things.
Sure. So you got two different stories there. So one of them, I think that the employment department has been under a lot of criticism for their software project, and I've been critical of them for a long time on their project. This project was about a 20-year project, and it's just not that complicated. It's super expensive, and they really put the committee off because they said, Most of this project is funded with federal money, and so we're not going to have so much state oversight. And I was really frustrated with that the whole time. And so this is where we're at, and Oregonians are not getting a fair shake because of that. So I'm super frustrated with that. I think that the DMV, I think, is actually a success story. If I have just a couple of minutes here.
Go for it.
So way back 25 years ago, I don't know if people remember, but the DMV said, our software is so old and so decrepit right now, we can't go another day with it. And that, they said that 25 years ago.
Mm.
So the legislature at that time, I was 6 years old at that time, but the legislature at that time said, that's a joke. But anyway, the legislature at that time said, okay, well, we'll do a software project, and it crashed and burned on the launch pad.
Mm.
And so even up till today, they were using that same software that 25 years ago they said they couldn't go another day with. So we had another software project for them to redo their whole system, and we've just kind of come to the end of that. And I was very pleased to be on the oversight committee for that. And I think that's a model for how to do a big software project. Is they were very responsive to us as an oversight committee and had a lot of success. Now they have the issue of They have a new software thing. They have to train everybody. And they have the COVID thing where they can't really do face-to-face. So that's what the issue is with the DMV.
Continuing to go through all of these challenges, each and every one of us in our job, our personal life, all of that. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're going to continue the conversation after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. I want to say thank you to Dave and Paige Smith, Realty One Group, Willamette Valley, for being a morning show sponsor. They're ready to go above and beyond to serve you and your real estate needs. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. And also want to encourage you, if you have an event coming up in your church, nonprofit organization, something going on in your community, maybe your county, we'd love to promote it. Send it to me at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM.news. We're continuing the conversation this morning with Representative Mike Nierman, and he is running for re-election. And we're covering a lot of ground, Mike, today. And one of the things that I think is important is that we stay connected and we get information out to folks so that they know how they can make a difference and get a hold of their elected leaders. And we were talking kind of off air here about ways that we can do that. And you're involved with some things that keep people engaged, connected, and then give them the power to go and do something about it. Talk to us about those things.
So, yeah, thanks, Stacey Ann. So one of the projects that I'm involved with is a few people and I are involved with a media organization called the Northwest Observer. You can find it on Facebook and on Twitter and at northwestobserver.com. And it's just Oregon news that's just another look that's we're in the same space as the Oregonian and Willamette Week and OPB and the Bend Bulletin, those kinds of things, covering statewide news there. And it's just a little bit of an alternate look there. There's, like I said, there's some things that that the other side doesn't want to have in the news mm-hmm. because it doesn't work for them, like the failure of the education system. You don't see that reported on very much. Wildfires, when the city's full of smoke, they report on it. And then once the smoke blows away, then you don't see anything about forest management or wildfires or anything. And the riots, that was fun and games for a couple of weeks, then they figured out it didn't poll very well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if people know riots are still going on in Portland, but it's not being covered. So so that's what that's about. Is so you can check that out at northwestobserver.com.
That's fantastic to get more of a viewpoint and to kind of push the envelope a little bit on some of these things that are affecting individuals and communities that aren't getting in the media looking at it. And that we are in a kind of a interesting place here in the Salem area because everything's driven by Portland, right? Yeah. And all the TV stations and even the bigger radio stations out of Portland or Eugene. And there's really a need there's plenty of room for media. And I encourage people, and I think some of our young conservatives, and I'm excited. I've heard a great report from last weekend of a young Republican event and that there are folks coming up through that are conservative and holding our values. And it's important that there's a place at the table in media, isn't there? There really is.
Yep.
So you're also involved in a wonderful group, and I love this. I had a chance to participate a little bit. We had only been here maybe 4 or 5 weeks, and I found out about it and got to go to one of these kind of strategic meetings at the Capitol. And it's Oregon Citizen Lobby, is that correct?
Yeah, Oregon Citizens Lobby, and it's a great organization. As a matter of fact, I was a member of this before I was in the legislature, and it was great training for being in the legislature, mm-hmm. And I think it's just great kind of training in civics, and the cool thing about it is you can take as big a bite or a small bite as you want, so you can just come and kind of be a fly on the wall and mm-hmm. Look her on her or something like that. Or you can roll up your sleeves and you can go talk to your representatives and senators, and you can even testify in front of committees if you want. And this organization will help you do that. But it's Oregon Citizens Lobby. And when the legislature's in session, I don't know what's going to happen because the Democrats like to have the Capitol shut down right now. But we usually have a war room there where you can come and take your jacket off and has presentations and things. And then we run a website called trackthervote.org. And you can go there and find out how your people voted on stuff. And so very, very, very good way to keep people in the loop on what's going on with the legislature.
It's a citizens boot camp, and what I like about it is it doesn't matter if you're what you're registered as, you're a citizen, whether you're Republican, Democrat, independent, non-affiliated, all the different parties. I think there's like five or six here in Oregon. You are trained on how to engage your elected leader and how to influence policy, and I love that kind of thing. I eat that for lunch. Yep. You know, I love how everyday people can get the information and have access. And I think our open government needs to be open. And I'm so sad that there's no access to the state house right now. And I certainly hope that our elected leaders will demand that there be openness. And certainly there's ways, I mean, if they can do it at Costco, if you can do it at, you know, Lowe's and Home Depot and Walmart, why can't we do it in the state house and find a way to be safe and be smart, but have access, right?
Yeah, and the Zoom meetings aren't cutting it for the legislature. We need to, I mean, the Constitution's pretty clear that citizens need to have access to their legislature. And like I said, Zoom is nice, but it's just not cutting it. So,
well, in all these mandates that are coming down out of the governor's office without consulting her people that she's overruling on, you know, I'm very, very concerned about continuing on. You know, it's this last mandate is through emergency clauses through the 3rd of November. You know, what's going to happen next? And once this the dust settles from this election and we look at kicking off in January and people being sworn in for this new session, I think it's important that you and I, listeners, that we and friends, that we come together and we get engaged in the process, because these folks that are on the front lines, yes, they're the elected representative or senators, but they have a tough, tough job and they need us. They need, and I learned this a long time ago in when I was working in South Dakota in Pierre, we had a governor, Governor Janklow, he's since passed, but he would say, "Where's your army? You have an issue? You have something that needs attention? Where's your people behind it?" And you can never go wrong when you line up. And we saw that a few years ago, my understanding with the Slavic community on the vaccines. You know, they showed up and they said, not on our watch, right?
Mm-hmm. And Timber Unity, too. An army. They had their own trucks in their army, too.
Yes.
That was kind of intimidating.
Not on our watch. And so it's important that we gather together, that we stay linked up, we keep the information flowing. And many of us are using other social media ways to connect outside of the typical Facebook, Twitter, and things, because we're being censored and our information is being blocked and all of that. So it's important that we stay engaged. How can people get and support you? What are ways they can help you right now in your campaign, Mike?
I would rather people work on other campaigns. I think my campaign's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But what would really help me is to have more fellow Republicans than I have right now.
Right.
So there's other people, even in the local Salem area. So North Salem has Anna Kosachev is running there. Raquel Moore Green needs help. Denise Bowles needs help. Those are people, your time and your energy would be better spent helping them. I appreciate anybody who wants to help me, but I think I'll be okay. So I don't want to count my chicks before they hatch or anything, but those are some of the people in the area that need your help. Jack Esp is another one, a local person that needs help. Selma Pierce over in West Salem and Monmouth and Independence. So there's lots of good Republican candidates around that are more needy than me. So.
Spoken like a true statesman. Thank you for serving our state, Mike.
Good. Thanks for having me on, Stacey.
Let's do this again, okay?
Good.
Maybe
sure.
During session.
All right.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Glad to be hanging out with Representative Mike Nierman today. Going into hour two shortly. Stay tuned. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.